My summer reading list. Books are the quietest and most constant of friends. They are the most accessible and wisest of counselors, and the most patient of teachers. Charles Eliot. Each summer I try to read a book a week from Memorial Day to Labor Day. 13 weeks, 13 books. It's a goal I set, and I never reach it. 11 and a half is my record, but never for lack of trying. I have a deal with friends to read 25 pages a night during summer, and for each night we successfully reach our goal, each contributes a dollar to a selected charity, all in the name of broadening horizons and celebrating the lazy pace of summer. A beach chair, a good book, and a slow-moving clock. It simply doesn't get better than that. It's a good thing that I'm making the time, too. Several parents have approached me with book recommendations, and I'm eager to get to them all. My wife regularly suggests that my bedside table may crumble from the weight of each new novel accrued over the year, and summer comes just before the whole thing gives out. That said, I'm always up for a new recommendation, and if anyone has a title out there that they don't see, let me know. Since several folks have asked what books I'm planning to read this summer, I figured this would be a good place to share this summer's list. It starts with Children of Blood and Bone by Tomi Adeyemi. YA fiction connects me to students and what may be populating their summer reading lists. Look for this title on one of our middle school lists for what it's worth. It also has become a compelling genre, as compelling as any social science book, see Range, which I'll talk about in a moment, or biography, see Frederick Douglass, that I might read. In this case, the story is a dystopian one. How much more middle school can you get, right? Set in a world of fantasy where magic has been expunged from the world one magi at a time, until it hasn't. Children of Blood and Bone is my Memorial Day week read, which means I needed a head start. I've actually been chipping away at it since April break, but it's been worth it. A diverse author, diverse protagonist, and diverse storyline. The next book is called Hagseed by Margaret Atwood. Having taught Shakespeare's The Tempest this year to 7th graders, I was thrilled to learn of a collection of Shakespeare's plays retold as novels by modern-day authors from Amy Sprung. Hagseed is Margaret Atwood's retelling of The Tempest, a nod to the name Prospero uses to call Caliban, the son of a witch, on the island where they've been shipwrecked. I have every confidence that other retold novels like Vinegar Girl, which is Taming of the Shrew, and The Gap of Time, which is The Winter's Tale, will follow shortly after I'm done with Hagseed. The next book is called Range by David Epstein. This is a social science nonfiction narrative that may, in fact, jump the line to be my next read of summer. I have a sneaking suspicion it will confirm much of what I believe about education. That generalists, those with a broad and diverse series of experiences, as opposed to those who grow up in a specialized world, will be better served in the long run. Plenty of confirmation bias for me here, to be sure, but Range may be a text that you will find me quoting for the better part of the 1920 school year. The Witch Elm by Tana French. This is my guilty pleasure of the summer. Tana French is the best mystery suspense writer in the business, in my humble opinion. An Irish writer who can set you in the dark and smoke-filled alleyways of Dublin in a matter of a few words of prose. French's new novel currently sits as the longest book on the shelf in terms of page number, and probably will be the quickest one to read. Exhalation by Ted Chiang. A Belmont Day parent put Ted Chiang on my radar as a science fiction writer a few years ago, and I've been desperately awaiting his newest collection of short stories. Those who remember the film Arrival, in which aliens and humans try to communicate, have Chiang to thank for it. That story is adapted from his last collection, Stories of Your Life and Others, which was one of three that were among the best short story sci-fi I have read since Ray Bradbury. Frederick Douglass, Prophet of Freedom by David Blight. First off, the winner of the Pulitzer Prize in History feels like a pretty good place to turn this summer in my search for an excellent biography. The story of Douglass has not been revisited for nearly a quarter century by any biographer, and the dog days of summer will be well occupied by this renewed perspective. Educated, a memoir by Tara Westover. I've lost count of the number of people who've recommended this memoir about a woman who left her family in rural Idaho to pursue a degree at Cambridge University. To borrow a description from Donna Oram, the president of NAIS, Educated is, quote, a coming-of-age story that gets to the heart of what an education is and what it offers, the perspective to see one's life through new eyes and the will to change it. Teen Human by Douglas Rushkoff. Directly across from my table in my office are three words in all caps and bolded: communication, communication, communication. They are there to remind me that we can always be communicating more frequently, more effectively, in a more timely manner, and more comprehensively. Team Human is a nonfiction look at striking a balance between leveraging the benefits of technology without compromising the personal and intimate act of human communication that pulls us together where technology alone can allow us to drift apart. I am grateful to the BDS parent who put this one on my list as well. Circe by Madeline Miller. Following this year's reimagined fourth grade festival, I couldn't help but find a copy of Circe by Madeline Miller and set it aside for summertime. The Odyssey provides the archetypal journey in literature. Its richness lies in the characters that Ulysses meets along the way, the menacing Cyclops, the Sirens and their song, and countless others, including Circe herself, the goddess who turned Ulysses' men to swine. What might the story look like through her eyes? Well, the fourth grade has at least inspired me to figure it out. Whiskey When We're Dry by John Larrison. Blair Frost, the director of after-school enrichment programs, put my ambitious reading list to shame. She is on book number 25 for this calendar year already, and knows great literature when she finds it. Whiskey When We're Dry is the convention of a traditional Western that shatters both that convention and any tradition. And what would summer be without a little True Grit to pass the time? And finally, What School Could Be by Ted Dintersmith. Years ago, Pat Bassett, then the president of NAIS himself, traveled throughout the country to find 25 things that all great schools were doing, and he shared his findings at an annual conference and then again in an article that I find myself returning to quite frequently. Dintersmith has done something similar. He's visited 50 different schools to see where the most innovative practices, designs, and models of education are happening, and offers a roadmap on how we might employ them in our schools. If Range by Epstein wasn't enough, What School Could Be should do the trick. That's it. And wherever you are this summer, I hope you can find some comfortable shade, a cool glass of refreshment, and a great book to read. Have a wonderful weekend, everyone. Hard to believe how close we are to the finish line.